normalized sequence of events in somebody's life, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, this is supposed to be everyone's goal, is go to university, get a job, get a house, get married, have kids, white picket fence, like that. That's mm-hmm. how I associate it, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's just like this expected normal step in life. I feel like there's a lot of stigma if you kind of fall off the bandwagon of these expected steps for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, yeah, even for 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds who haven't been married or found someone, you always feel mentally behind. So then mm-hmm. it feels like there's even like a window, a time period of where you're supposed to find someone in your 20s to 30s.
And yeah, exactly.
It's like always these little time windows that if you miss, then you're done. You're mm-hmm. off.
It totally is told. Like, we are told that, I feel like, by society mm-hmm. a lot of the time. But I also like the fact that so many marriages also end in divorce is like, we're pushing this so hard, but is it even natural at a certain point, or is it even like something we should be trying to pursue?
Yeah, I know from the specific stat is that the American Psychological Association, just to back this up, that 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. Mm-hmm. So it is true, almost half of all marriages end in divorce. So yeah, that does raise the question if marriage is the right option for humans mm-hmm. in general. Should we be marrying? Because animals don't marry, do
right?
they?
I mean, there is. I was doing a bit of research just historically what marriage is used for. And I'm sure you out there listening know a lot of these reasons, but a lot of times it's done, or it was done, for economic and political alliances, like preserving some sort of power or power relationships. Like, I think a lot of times in the monarchy, like having different rulers of different lands coming together and then preserving their power that way.
Mm-hmm.
Also just like transfer of property, because at least in like our traditional marriage, when we think about it in a Western sense, it is very much like transferring the woman from father to husband as like, okay, like this is kind of your property now too, along yeah. with whatever like assets she has,
and then slap your last name on her, and then
yeah,
she's
right?
yours.
Exactly. So it is very like, we still have those super patriarchal connotations associated with marriage, which is another reason why I'm very hesitant to at least do it in the traditional sense, like getting walked down the aisle, getting like passed off wearing my very virginal white dress, you know, like
yeah,
I don't really mess with that at all.
Yeah, I think yeah, that kind of a traditional marriage, I mean, I think the idea of marriage itself, like having someone that you can always depend on and going back to someone at home and knowing, feeling stable.
That's not marriage, I know, though, specifically.
But it's kind of like a binding contract
yeah.
to make that stability. And so, yeah, I feel like it's shunned down on, even for common law, like if you have not had the fancy wedding and the fancy honeymoon and just living together. I feel like society generally does not like that, even though it carries the same idea as a married couple versus just
yeah
living.
It's definitely, marriage is so idealized, but I've been to a few weddings and sometimes it just makes me feel sad. Not to say like the couples aren't in love or anything, but it's just, it feels like a bit dogmatic, like we're just doing this because it's been done for so long, but we're not like, yeah, we love each other, people love each other, but is there a need to get married? Also, historically, just two other things about reasons for getting married before I forget, is that a big part of it was ensuring that the man's children were his biological heirs, because I think before, like, it's really difficult if like how do I say this? Like, if you don't know who the child is, I think in a lot of nomadic villages, or even like a few thousand years ago or whatever, however we were living, it would be like, okay, this woman births the child. We don't know whose it is, so we're just going to raise it as a community. Like, I think that was kind of how it was like. But then with marriage, it's more of a rigid structure of like, this is also property in a way, like, oh, this child is my property now, like this is mine, instead
right.
of a communal sense of bringing up a child, which is interesting.
Yeah, because for men, had the ability to have a lot of sperm and being able to pass it on versus having, like, as a woman, only having one egg. If we're getting really biological, like, it's hard for the guy to know, like, who's your child if you're just, like, trying to mate with every other woman. Like, how do you know which child is yours? So yeah, maybe the marriage thing is part of that.
Yeah, regardless of who was, like, sleeping with who, it's just we know the woman, the person who's birthing the child, is at least a guaranteed parent. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else is, like, we don't know.
Do you think there's a relationship between the men, like, men for the ability to spread sperm and cheating? Ew. I know, I don't know what other word to use. But
to plant their seed.
To plant their seeds. Do you think there's a relationship between that and their ability to do that and cheating? Because I know that there's a stat that 20% of men cheat versus 13% of women cheat in married relationships.
That's a really hard question because I have no idea how much is socialized or biological. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. I'm just going to be talking here. But yeah. Sexuality is kind of repressed within women a lot of times, mm-hmm. and the opposite is done so for men. And I think, yeah, like, young, beautiful women are really pushed as, like, the most ideal standard of beauty that's very tempting and very tantalizing for older men. And I don't know if that's a societal construction or if that is just a biological want or need, but there is still, like, I don't understand how that biological ability to, like, impregnate more people would override their own decision making and critical thinking skills. Yeah. To be like, actually, I don't want to cheat on my partner. It might even be more of a communication issue of, like, talking to your partner before breaking up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead you're just, like, cheating on them without telling them.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think the biggest reason, I was reading an article that people cheat is just, it's more in the moment kind of thing. Like, they don't realize the long-term consequence and that they do love their partners, but in the moment they're like, oh, like, must do it. Oh, this is such a bad conversation. But anyways, that does happen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they do regret it. Most of them do regret it, but it's just that in the moment kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe, does it borderline to even biological? But I don't think so. Do you think that you can restrain yourself from these things? Because I think you can.
I think you can, yeah. So, I think you definitely have, unless we're just talking about no free will at all, like having that free will debate, like, mm-hmm. you can always really make a choice about what you want. And yeah, maybe they're doing it in the moment, but there also might be, like, a subconscious not being happy in the relationship or having something lacking.
Right.
So I'm not sure, but I know that it is a very, like, common idea, is that, like, this biological feature of men makes them more,
yeah,
like, what do you, cheater.
Yeah, another question as well.
Questions, just throwing them out. Okay, yeah.
I'm curious what you think, because I think most people agree that, like, physical cheating is definitely, like, in a married relationship, if we're talking there, that mm-hmm. would be the end of the relationship. But what about one spouse flirting with someone else?
I mean, flirting would not facilitate, like, the end of a relationship for me, especially in a marriage. Flirting is not even cheating, in my opinion.
Some people consider it cheating.
But I don't know. It's like a tricky gray area, because you're like, okay, if they're flirting, it leads to nothing. Like, I don't want my partner to be, like, flirting with other people, but I'm not going to, like, end the marriage if I'm married to them because of it.
But couldn't that entail, like, the idea that they don't want to be with you anymore, that they'd rather be flirting around?
That is hard to answer because there is this whole idea of monogamy being, like, the ultimate version of love, or, like,
mm-hmm.
that kind of, yeah, that notion where it's like, oh, if my partner is interested in other people or even, like, wanting to flirt with other people, that means they don't like me anymore. But if you did define it as a monogamous relationship, then it is pretty crappy.
Yeah.
I guess, but it just depends on their intention, too. Like, I can't just evaluate it based on the action. I just want to know, like, more context. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I think, yeah, I would definitely, it would be context-wise. I mean, I definitely would not like it myself if my partner was doing that. Or I wouldn't like it myself if I was flirting with someone else. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would do it personally. But yeah, it is a very gray area. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly did not have a question, or did not have an answer to my mm-hmm. own question. But that's just something I've been thinking about lately.
just recently, not that just for recently, no reason. Not,
mm-hmm. Well, that sounds bad. Just because of this topic, so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, there's also other things. Like, I think that's definitely a main reason for divorce as well.
Yeah.
For cheating, but as well other things like just miscommunication or just ideals fall
or
off.
Just or just starting to form this deep resentment for one another.
Ooh.
I feel like that happens a lot. I know my mom is, like, a lot of her friends are kind of, at this point in their lives, divorcing with their husbands because mm-hmm. they've just had enough of the BS. And I'm like, I feel like that is another reason for divorce. Like, you can't start to really resent each other for whatever roles you take or whatever roles you don't take too in the relationship. It just builds up over and over again out, like, across the span of time. Yeah. So
I feel like that's such a big decision, though, than who to marry.
Who to have a child with.
Yeah.
Is like, you can marry and divorce, but once you have a child, that's like the big one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's a scary thing that maybe in the future. Don't want to think about that now, but
yeah, I mean, something kind of interesting but also pretty dismal and sad is that it was a take on love, but from a biological perspective, like what's going on in the brain mm-hmm. and what function does love serve us. And I just saw it on YouTube, but the basic idea of it was that we only really fall in love to form attachment and trust enough to have a baby with the other person. And then once we procreate and have a child, it still like lingers for a bit in most brains, but it was saying like the different cycles of love, like passionate love or attachment love, like they all kind of serve their own purpose in the procreation, like, chain.
Oh no. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Sounds bad.
So yeah, everyone who believes in love actually is just a biological function
love
for us
fake.
To continue the human species
evolution. I mean
yeah, like it
that
definitely made
right.
a lot of sense, and the woman was a scientist, just saying, like, it was a pretty credible video. But
yeah, because the goal of evolution is to create more humans, and mm-hmm. I mean, if love can get to that stage, then that would be favored in evolution. So
yeah,
is love not real then?
But then it doesn't really explain, I'm just thinking about it now, but it doesn't really explain relationships out of like heterosexuality. Like, why do people fall in love if they can't procreate?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It has a very straight perspective on it, but
interesting. Yeah, I haven't thought about that perspective. But at least, LGBTQ and I guess open relationships are more accepted in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Definitely goes against most of the biological reasons for marriage and just marriage in general.
What do you mean, the biological reasons?
Or, like you said, like, gay or lesbian couples can't procreate, and wouldn't mm-hmm. that be, wouldn't they, how do I explain this? I'm losing my thoughts today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't they experience love to also want to procreate and have babies, but then they themselves, they can't because...
But then a lot of people do have the want to, like, have a child with the other person and, like, adopt or, like, find another
right.
way to have a child. So I wonder if that could be tied into as well. But also a lot of straight couples don't want children. So it's kind of complicated. It's complicated. I think it's very generalized.
Yeah. I think my brain just
very heteronormative, so. But I think there is some kind of interesting thing to dig into the brain there and see how it connects to procreation.
Yeah.
When a lot of it, we're just like, oh, it's so romantic, love, da 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 da. But then it's like, oh, we are like wired this way for a reason. But I don't know, like there's platonic love in the world too, and all these other forms of love that are not, they don't necessarily have like a purpose. Like it's just what like makes life worth living, honestly.
There's also like maternal love. I feel like that's a biological thing.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You want your kid to survive, so of course you love them. But I also find it weird that I read this book, and I finished it a bit ago, by France de Waals. It was talking about chimpanzees. Back to the chimpanzees.
Always gotta tie it back.
Gotta tie it back.
The bonobos. But I'm waiting for the bonobo name drop.
He made some ties for maternal love and connecting it to relationships of how people call each other by pet names or
interesting. Or like, I mean,
like make baby sounds and things like that. Like, why do we do that? Why do people do that in general?
I wonder. I mean, yeah.
Does it have ties to maternal love, which is the strongest love of all? Or what is this? I don't know how to explain it.
It could be like with the baby noises. I don't know what we're talking about anymore, but like a sense of like feeling safety with your partner and like some sense of unconditional love, even though I don't think any love is unconditional, but that's kind of another conversation. Like, I don't know, with the mother, it feels like you're supposed to feel, if you have a healthy attachment style, you're supposed to feel very safe and secure, and like you can feel like you can do whatever and be yourself and do whatever you want to do and still feel loved. So I'm not sure if that's a connection. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, we're just throwing these out. This is more of a loose topic this week, so.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, what do you think? Just random questions as well. I put, what do you think the appropriate time to get married for you versus society?
I think society is changing. Like, in my grandparents' generation, it was definitely early 20s people are getting married, like, out of high school.
Could not do
that. And then my parents, it was, at least my parents got married, like, late 20s, early 30s. And for me, that seems like the more acceptable age in society to get married, still. But yeah, I mean, you do have to plan if you want to be an older parent or a younger parent and how that affects your child.
Yeah, all the
birth complications, and also just having a young child starting to like have to take care of you, depending on how old you're gonna have children. But like, I don't want my child to start having to take care of me before I'm like done taking care of them.
Yeah,
you know. But I definitely don't want to have a child before I can finish like forming my identity and my beliefs and like having life experience separate from being a mother. So I don't, it's a hard question. Yeah. It's like, I won't know in my life until I'm at that point when I'm ready. But I definitely don't want to rush it. I don't want to do it if it doesn't feel like the right time, because I think that will breed a lot of, again, resentment. Like, this is a fear that I have.
Right.
Is, like, if I get married, like, resenting my partner, resenting my child, if, you know, the dynamics don't play out the way I wanted them to. How about you?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Like, I definitely don't want to get married in my 20s.
No way.
Maybe very late 20s, 30s. I mean, life is pretty unpredictable, but I feel
like... That's the rest of your life, though. Like, get married in your 30s? You're going to be 90, and that's, like, 60 years of being with one person, if you are thinking about actually doing it.
I don't know.
Seems huge.
If I meet that person, we'll see. There's a lot of criteria and a lot of things you have to watch out for in a person
for sure.
Before you move in with them for 6 years. I don't think I have much more to say though for this
about
topic.
Marriage.
About marriage, I'm a youngin. I have no thoughts.
I have like one more small topic is like has to do with polyamory, but I think we praise monogamy so much and we think this is like so important and like the pinnacle of love in a relationship, but it really is, monogamy is kind of a sense of ownership still, over another person. Like, you can control them. Not like you... That's not like you're actively controlling them, but there are rules and boundaries set in place that the other person can't do certain things because of you. Mm. So it does feel like a sense of ownership in a way. It's like, oh, you can't do this because I'm with you. And you need to, like, respect me. And it's like, yeah, you need to respect another person. But I just think it's interesting how this is something that's so praised. And I feel like there could be a connection between that and capitalism ownership. I mean, if we get into it, like, it is. I do see, like, some sort of relationship there.
Yeah, especially trophy wives.
Yeah. I mean, little... that's a whole other issue, too. That's, like, a patriarchal capitalism issue, like, hand in hand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, having one person serve all of our... Like, we're expecting one person to serve all of our needs. And, like, is that reasonable? Is that even achievable?
You know? With the one person. I think... It only gets a little murky when it's, like, for example, one man with multiple wives. I feel like there's something wrong with that.
Okay.
But if it's consent, like, everyone's consenting and everyone agrees maybe to live together.
What if the multiple wives are consenting?
I think it's only if it's, like, a power dynamic. I just think of that it can be exploited, that one man with multiple women. But, I mean, if they are consenting, they all love the man. They all love each other. Go for it. Be my guest. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, only the exploitation of power. I think that's why it's still illegal in Canada for polyamory. No, poly. There's a lot of types.
Polygamy?
Polygamy? Yeah, polygamy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of types, variations of this word. But yeah, polygamy is still illegal in Canada. I think especially, like, particularly for this exploitation, for one man for multiple wives.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, overall, if you can love who you love. If you want to love in a group, go for it. Mm-hmm. Group love. Go crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is just something to think about, like, why is this so ingrained? And it's very strict. Wrong? Like, this is one of the only relationships where it's super strict. It's, like, all or nothing, pretty much. Whereas friendships or family, like, it can come and go. And it's not, like, the same expectations.
Right.
Especially, the all or nothing thing does kind of bother me, like, just because it's not working as a monogamous relationship means I have to lose this person who I trust and love, like, forever. Like, it doesn't make that much sense logically, but relationships are complicated, too, so.
Yeah, very complicated. Very complicated.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, society also places emphasis on having close friends rather than a bunch of acquaintances. So I feel like that idea of having a close circle is really pushed on to us, of having very close relationships with very limited people. I mean, you can form more of an emotional connection if you have only one person to focus on, or like one small little set of groups. But I mean, it shouldn't be wrong if someone wants to stray from that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And in the wild, too, like animals, they're not married.
Bonobos.
The bonobos. But, they're not monogamous. There's a lot of animals that aren't monogamous. So there's definitely...
And humans have not been monogamous, too, in the past, for sure.
Exactly.
And today.
Exactly. So anyway, that was the little wrap up for our topic.
We're done.
Marriage and relationship. We can't do anymore.
We're done.
We're done. We might revisit this topic. I'm more curious about the neuroscience behind this. We should do that later on. But anyways, I think that's enough.
We're getting the next song name.
We're going to do the next song. The next song is called Body. Slightly ironic. I don't know. But it's by Locure. I can't even read that.
Locure.
This was a Canadian artist, so hope you enjoy.
Used to be hot and cold. One day I want it and the next I don't. Too good at being alone. I don't want to be good no more. I think you could change my mind.
the night, can it be for life? God knows I've been waiting for so long to feel this. You're not just anybody, you're more than a body. Everything that I need might be right beside me. You're not just anybody, you're more than a body. Everything that I need might be right beside me.
Welcome back. We are just going to say our final farewells. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
So robotic. Yeah. I'm DJ Coco.
And yeah, the song you're just listening to was
Body by Loker.
Yeah,
Loker. I still can't pronounce it.
Yeah, maybe Loker.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening today. Next up is Revolution Rock at 7 p.m., then Bitcoover at 8 p.m. with our music director, Connor. So be sure to keep on tuning in.
Yes, and yeah, thank you for joining us for Slumber Party. We're here every Tuesday, 6 to 7. And yeah, we'll be back next week. So we're going to do also finish off with a couple more songs. So this one is called Patience. P-A-Y-S-H-U-N-C-E. So it's not the normal spelling. And it's by SheBad. This band is actually pretty good. They are from Canada in Ontario. But yeah, enjoy.
Enjoy. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.